Welcome, 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 welcome. God bless everyone tuning in. Thanks for tuning in. And if you haven't hit share it already, go ahead and hit your share button, because we're about to slay insecurity today. I brought my sword. I brought the sword of the Spirit with me. I was looking for a sword this morning to bring, and I searched the kids' toys. Couldn't find an adequate one, but I came to the house of the Lord, and there the sword was in the lobby. And this thing is heavy right here. I'll tell you, this is a rule. Now I know why a lot of people don't want to fight, because it takes effort to fight. It takes strength to fight. It takes strength to get up and push back on that enemy, right? So I just want to say welcome. I brought the sword to help us visualize what we're doing in the Spirit. We're slaying insecurity. And as we know, Ephesians says that the word of the Lord is the sword of the Spirit, right? The word of the Lord. So I'm gonna lay down the sword right here so you can visualize it as we get into this word. If you have your Bibles, I want you to join with me in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. You know that we're going through Jeremiah for the next couple weeks. We're going to turn back there over and over again, because we're marinating in the word of the Lord. We're marinating in God's word. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4. And if you're able, I want to invite you to stand on your feet for the reading of God's word. If you're able, let's stand to our feet. Come on, right there in your living room. Right there, let's honor the word of the Lord in your living room, in your kitchen. If you're in your car, then let's just bow our heads as an act of honoring the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, it reads like this. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. At last, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty Father God in heaven, we open up your word here on this earth for guidance and strength. We open up your word here on this earth for direction, Lord God. We need help, and so we turn to you. We don't turn to the news or the newspaper or to our neighbor. We turn to you and to your spoken word. Direct us this morning, Lord. Feed us this morning. Strengthen us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to just thank you and just praise the Lord for you for turning your living room into a sanctuary. That's kind of like our theme for the next couple, maybe month or so. We are turning our living rooms into sanctuaries. And by doing that, we are inviting the presence and the power of God. And so may the hand of the Lord rest upon your home. Now, we are studying from the subject of slaying insecurity, and we are turning to the book of Jeremiah for our insight. And if you remember, God called Jeremiah for a particular assignment, and God called him to speak to his people, to direct his people, to prophesy unto his people. And Jeremiah did not want to do what God called him to do. Jeremiah didn't want to fulfill his divine assignment. Jeremiah didn't want to do what God called him to do. And we are learning that the reason why Jeremiah didn't want to do what God called him to do is because of insecurity. Jeremiah was immediately attacked with insecurity, and as a result of that, he tried to give God an excuse of why he could not do what God has called him to do. And so we are studying the words of God to Jeremiah to draw strength from and deliverance from the spirit of insecurity. Now, before we learn to slay insecurity, we need to learn to discern what it is. We need to learn to discern what is insecurity. Now, I taught you a couple weeks ago that insecurity manifests itself in different ways depending upon your character and your personality. So it's not a one-size-fit-all. Insecurity manifests itself in different ways. Now, Apostle Paul, he identified one of the manifestations of insecurity in the book of Galatians. I want to help us to kind of discern what insecurity is. In the book of Galatians, chapter, I believe it is chapter 5, verses 26, Paul kind of identifies a manifestation of insecurity when he says in verse 26, he says, "Let us not become conceited." Let us not become conceited. Now, that English word conceited doesn't really help us to understand what Paul was trying to get across. But this word conceited in the original language, it speaks of being desperate for people's approval. It speaks of being desperate for people's affirmation. It speaks of being desperate for applause. This word conceited in the original Greek language speaks of being thirsty. You're living a thirsty life for people's approval. Like, you enter into relationships to seek approval. You enter into situations to seek affirmation from people. You want the applause of people. You seek the applause for people. You don't serve to seek the applause of God. You serve to seek the applause of people. You don't work to seek the approval of God. You work to seek the approval of people. And so this word conceited is a manifestation of insecurity. You're living a thirsty life for approval, affirmation, and applause. Now, the word conceited literally means vainglorious. It means vainglorious. It means empty of glory. Empty of glory. So Paul is saying, listen, let's not start living like we don't have no glory inside of us. Well, that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, let's not start living vaingloriously. Now, what is interesting, brothers and sisters, that he is speaking to believers. And believers were already filled with the glory of God. As believers, we're filled with God's glory. So when Paul says, let's not become conceited, what he's really saying is stop acting like someone you're not. Stop acting like someone you're not. Stop acting like someone who doesn't know who they are and what they possess. Nothing worse like a Christian who is acting like somebody of the world. Nothing worse than a Christian who has forgotten who they are in Christ Jesus. In fact, part of the strategy of insecurity is to get you to forget who you are in Christ Jesus, because the moment you forget who you are in Christ Jesus, you'll become thirsty again for the approval of man. And Paul says, don't forget who you are. And at the very core of that problem is the problem of identity. It's an identity crisis. And Jesus warned us about living for the applause of man. He said, watch out for those who elevate the applause of man over the applause of God. So remember, child of God, who you are, and remember what you have as a citizen of the kingdom of God. In fact, I would suggest to you that part of my primary purpose in life is to always remind you who you are in Christ. So I always remind you what you possess so that the enemy don't get you to forget who you are. Now, back to Jeremiah. We're learning about what God said to Jeremiah so that we can begin to slay insecurity. And what I started off doing last week is I'm drawing declarations from the statement of God to Jeremiah, and we are using these declarations to slay the spirit of insecurity when it attacks us. You get what we're doing? I'm drawing out declarations from what God said to Jeremiah, and in them declarations, we are using those declarations. So every time the spirit of insecurity hits us, we're pulling out. You see this sword right here? This sword represents the declarations that we're going to use. Uh-oh, watch out now. This sword represents the declaration of what we are using. So, for example, last week, the first declaration was, I am formed by God. Anybody remember that? Nathaniel, you remember that declaration? I am formed by God. So every time insecurity hits you, what are you doing? You pull out your sword and you declare to yourself and whatever demon is trying to attack you and the world that's listening, I am formed by God. I'm formed by God. That's how you begin to slay insecurity. Listen, my brother and sister, you got to fight. You got to fight. This ain't easy. Apostle Paul talks about fighting the good fight of faith. We're soldiers in the army of God. We are soldiers in the army of God. So you got to learn how to pull out your sword. Got to learn how to pull out your sword. Now, are you ready for declaration number two? I'm excited to teach you this. I've been preparing all week long. Are you ready for declaration number two? Here's declaration number two. Here it is. Declaration number two is, I am known by God. I am known by God. Someone say that with me. I am known by God. Nathaniel, say that with me. I am known by God. I am known by God. Come on, somebody help me out now. I am known by God. Sarah, I am known by God. Listen to what God says to Jeremiah in verse 5. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. 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 Man, there's some power in that word right there that I want to break down. There's some things in this word that you don't think about on the surface of this that we're going to dig deeper into the well of God's word. And I want to give you some understanding on what it means when God says, I know you. I want to give you some understanding of what it means when God says, I know you. Now, this word new means I understand you. It means I know all about you. This word new means that God knows you better than you know yourself. It means I understand you. I know all about you. Now, this word new, it speaks of two things that I want to give you today. Two things. When God says, I know you, when you say, I am known by God, it speaks of two things that I want to lay at your feet, and I hope you're following along because this is gonna strengthen you. This is going to be one of your swords that you got to pull out. Are you ready? When this word new, it speaks of two things. Number one, it speaks of divine approval. Divine approval. When you say, I am known by God, it speaks of divine approval. When God says, I know you, it speaks of divine approval. Now, in the Hebrew culture, when they used this word know, it did not just refer to a knowledge of somebody, but it also carried with it a special love and affection. This word know carried with it in the Hebrew language a special love and affection. It means more than just a knowledge of someone, but it also means an approval of someone. Let that set in. Let that set in. When God says, I know you, it speaks more than just a knowledge of you. It speaks of approval of you. Approval of you. So when God told Jeremiah, I knew you. When God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. What he was saying is, I approve of you. I accept you. I accept you. I approve of you. The word know speaks more than just knowledge of somebody. It speaks of approval of someone. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? God already approved of you. God already approved of you to step forward into your destiny. Some of you right now are on the brink of an opportunity or a decision, and you're wavering if you have what it takes to get the job done. You're wavering if you have what inside of you to fulfill that particular thing that is in front of you. And I want to let you know right now that if you're in Christ Jesus, God knows you. And if he knows you, he's approved you to step forward into your destiny. He's already approved of you to step forward into your destiny. Now we see God dealing with mankind over and over in this way, over and over. You take, for example, Moses. Moses had an anger management problem. Moses had an emotional problem. Moses was seeking the approval of man. Yet God told him in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12, he says, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Notice this. Listen to this. Because we see God interacting with man and women like this over and over in the Bible. Look at what he says to Moses. I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. I want you to notice the word know is connected to grace. Notice that. The word know is connected to grace. Why is that? If God says he knows you, he also means he approves of you. If God says he knows you, he also says he approves of you. This is the benefit of the gospel. This is the benefit of being a citizen in the kingdom of God. When we say that we are known by God, we are also saying that God has approved us, God has received us, and God has accepted us. When you pull out your sword, when you're hit with insecurity and you pull out your sword and you say, no, devil, I am known by God. What you are declaring is God approves you, receives you, and has accepted you. And that's a powerful statement. That is a powerful reality to live in and to walk in. And we read this all throughout the Bible. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, the Holy Spirit tells us, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us, get this, accepted. Someone say accepted. Nathaniel, say accepted. Accepted in the beloved. What is the beloved? The beloved right here is Jesus Christ. You see that capital B? That's speaking of Jesus Christ. So listen to this. In Jesus Christ, you are accepted by God. You are received by God. You are approved by God. And listen, my sister, if you've already been approved by God, you don't have to ask Mother May I to anybody. You don't have to ask Mother May I to anybody, especially the devil. I no longer need to seek man's approval. I no longer need to seek man's recognition in my life. I no longer need to seek man's acceptance any longer in my life. I am known by God. No longer need to chase after man's approval. No, you ain't gonna find me chasing after man's approval. I already got the approval of God. This is the benefit of the gospel. Listen. The gospel is not just for unsaved people. The gospel is for saved people. Believers need to learn how to live a gospel-centered life. And if you do so, it will change your whole perspective on who you are in this world. There's a benefit of the gospel. So when we speak of being formed of God, we're talking about we're born for the opportunity. We're born for the opportunity. We've been developed for the opportunity. We've been made for that opportunity. But when we talk about we're known by God, we're speaking of we're approved for the opportunity. I got my clearance. I got my pass. I got my badge. I'm approved by God. Are you following along this morning? This is important. Very, very important. Because insecurity stems from the fear that people will find you out. Insecurity stems from the fear that people will find out your weaknesses. And when you bow down to insecurity, you don't wanna do that opportunity. You don't wanna move forward because you're afraid someone is gonna find you out. You're afraid of the spotlight that's gonna come over your life if you step into your destiny. And so instead of stepping up with boldness and confidence, what you do is you spiritually and emotionally become paralyzed and you wrap yourself up in a little ball and you sit in the corner of life. This is what Peter told Jesus. Right before Jesus called Peter, very interesting, right when Jesus was about to call Peter to be an apostle and lay his destiny right before him, Peter turned around and told Jesus, "Away from me, Jesus, I'm a sinful man." Think about that for a second. Jesus was about to call Peter to change the world. Jesus was about to call him to be an apostle, and right before Jesus calls him, insecurity rises up in Peter, and he actually tells the King of the universe, "Away from me, because I'm a sinful man. I don't have what it takes. I'm messed up." What Peter did not realize is that Jesus already knew everything about Peter. What he didn't realize is that Jesus already had an x-ray of his life. Radical thing about grace is that we are fully known yet fully loved. That's the radical thing about grace. This is what causes haters to twist their head at your life, because some of them know you used to be messed up. Some of them know where you came from, and they cannot fathom you walking into what you're walking into now. The radical thing about grace is we are fully known yet we are fully loved. The woman at the well, she got excited, began to tell everybody about Jesus in John chapter 4. She didn't get excited because Jesus just knew everything about her. She didn't get excited and tell everybody about Jesus just because he knew everything about her. A lot of people knew everything about her. She had a reputation in the city. No, she got excited. I would suggest to you this morning is because Jesus knew all about her, yet still accepted her, yet still loved her, yet still approved her, yet still anointed her and appointed her for her destiny. She was fully known, yet fully loved by the Master, and she rose up in boldness and captured her destiny. That's the radical thing about the gospel. That we are fully known yet fully loved. Anybody following along? Let me take you a little bit deeper, okay? I hope you brought your oxygen, because I'm going to kind of give you a radical revelation of yourself in Christ Jesus. We already have the applause of God. We already have the applause from God. We do not live trying to get the applause of God because we already have it. We don't live for it. We live from it. If you're in Christ Jesus, if you're in Christ, that's a radical revelation of yourself you need to catch. I'm telling you, that would deliver you right there from any insecurity. That will deliver you right there. Romans chapter 2, verse 29. Let me back this up. We don't live for God's applause. We live from God's applause. Listen to this. Romans chapter 2, verse 29. I need you to get this, so I'm going to take my time. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly and circumcised is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. What is that talking about? That's talking about salvation. That's talking about those that are saved. Remember, when you get saved, Jesus gives you a new heart. That's what it's talking about. Paul's talking about it's not about the outward things, it's about the inward things. It starts with the inward change and transformation of your heart. That takes place when you repent from your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your King and your Savior. God breathes into you a new heart. Are you following along? Now look at this last phrase. It's powerful. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. Look at this phrase. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. That word praise means applause. It means applause. It means applause. You know what that means? That means when you're in Christ, because you are in Jesus, God looks at your life. No, and you know what he does? He applauds. He claps. He claps. When you are in Christ Jesus, God does not see your sin. He does not see your flaws. He does not see your weaknesses. He sees the blood of Jesus upon your life, and he claps. He claps. He applauses because you are in Christ Jesus. Brother and sister, I want to suggest to you that we already have the clap of heaven cheering us on. We already have the claps of heaven cheering us on. When you're confronted with insecurity and you have this big opportunity before you and you feel fearful and doubt, you need to tune in your spirit to heaven and you will hear the clap of God cheering you on. Radical, radical, radical. I am known by God means I have a good report with God. It means I'm approved from God. All our lives, my brother and sister, we have been seeking the approval from people. All our lives, we use relationships to try to get approval from people. All our lives, we have worked hard to try to get people to look on us with approval. And now in Christ Jesus, we finally have the approval from the one who really matters. We finally have the approval from the one who really matters. Think about that. Imagine that with me, that because we are in Christ, God looks at our lives and he applauds. Claps. He's clapping. My sister who's there in the living room, and maybe you're by yourself and you think the world is against you, I want to remind you, listen, you hear that noise? You hear that noise? My brother who may have lost his job and you're fearful this morning because you don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. Listen. You know what that noise is? That is the clap of heaven cheering you on. I no longer have to seek the approval of man. No longer have to seek the acceptance of man. I finally got it from the one who really matters. I am known by God. I am known by God. No wonder why. When you study the Gospels, you hear Jesus saying the statement over and over again. No wonder why Jesus said the same statement over and over again. Now I understand what he means when he says he knows me. In John 10:14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and I know my own. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. John 13:18, Jesus said, I know the ones I have chosen. He's not just acknowledging us, beloved. He's approving us in front of the whole world. When Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd and I know those that I'm chosen, he is not just acknowledging us in front of everybody. No, he is approving of us. Finally, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords co-signs for us. The one that really, really matters. I am known by God. The second thing that this statement, I'm known by God, matters, means divine setup. It speaks of divine setup. And I'm not going to develop this part a lot, but I want you to get it. When we say I'm known by God, we are saying that God has already set up the situation in our favor. God has already orchestrated the situation before us. When we say we are known by God, we are saying that God has already set up the situation so in my favor, so now all I have to do is walk through it to experience the power of God. When we stand up and we declare, I am known by God, what we're saying is, whatever's before us, God has already orchestrated it for our favor. I am known by God. When you study the entire chapter of Jeremiah, chapter 1, you will see that God tells Jeremiah everything that's going to happen. He tells him everything that's going to happen. God already knows the end at the beginning. God already knows the end at the beginning. You need to catch this. Any situation that you enter in, you may be at the beginning of it, but God's already been at the end of it. And what he does is he goes to the end and then he comes back to the beginning and calls you forward with power and passion and anointing. So when you say, I am known by God, you're saying whatever's before you is already orchestrated in your behalf. It's a divine setup. Now, this conviction helps me to take on any challenge that I face in life. This conviction, I am known by God, it's a divine setup, helps me to take on any challenge. Even if the devil sets it up, I still hold this perspective that God is orchestrating that in on my behalf. Even if the devil starts it as a believer, I can still have my perspective that God is going to work it out in my behavior or in my behalf, because that is the benefit of a child of God. I am known by God no matter what takes place in my life. Even if the devil started a bad situation, I still believe that it is a divine setup for me to experience more of God. And I will never, ever surrender that perspective. I would encourage you, never, ever surrender your perspective when you go through whatever you go through, because you are known by God. Even if the devil may have started it, even if you started it by your own rebellion, if you repent and humble yourself, God will change it in your behavior. And you got to hold to that perspective no matter what. I remember hearing the story of an atheist who was mad at his neighbor. His neighbor was a old school Holy Ghost lady. And she would come out every morning in her porch and she would say, praise God for this day. Praise God for this day. And it made the atheist mad. And the more she came out and said, praise God for this day, eventually this lady bumped into some rough financial times and she couldn't have money to pay for food. So she came out on her porch one day and she said, Lord, I ask that you provide for me today. I ask that you provide food for my family. And the atheist overheard her and he got this wonderful idea in his own mind that he was going to disprove the existence of God. So what he did was he went to the store and he went down the aisles and he got a bunch of food and he paid for the food and the groceries and he took the bag and he put the bag in front of the lady's home and he rang the bell and he hid behind a bush, and the lady comes out to her porch and she sees all the food right there and she begins to praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You provided for me. You provided for me. And that atheist got out of the bush and said, hey, woman, no, I'm the one who went to the store. I'm the one who picked up the groceries. I'm the one who paid for these groceries. And that old lady looked to heaven and said, praise the Lord. God did it and made the devil pay for it. Never, ever, ever surrender your perspective as a child of God. My prayers for you, every time you're hit with insecurity, you will rise up and pick up your sword and say, no, I am known by God. I am known by God. Let us bow our heads. Wherever you're at, let's bow our heads. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you wherever you're at. I want to pray that Holy Ghost boldness comes bubbling up out of you. Everybody, where you're at, I invite you to bow your head. If you need special prayer for anything, God knows what you need. But if you need special prayer for anything, just lift up your hands towards that monitor, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. If God knows what you need, just lift up your hands as an act of faith. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters listening, Lord. Father, I pray for Holy Ghost boldness. I pray for strength, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, help them. Help them to pick up the sword of the Spirit, Lord God. Help them to declare that they are known by God. They are approved by God. Help them, Lord, to fight back. Help them to declare that they're formed by God. I pray for my brothers and sisters. Give them supernatural strength even now for this week, Lord God. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them. Bless that mother right now, Lord God. Bless that father right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Bless that youth right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray for that person struggling with loneliness right now. You know who she is or he is. Struggling with loneliness right now, Lord. And they're on the verge of making a bad decision because they feel lonely, Lord. Lord, reassure them that you're there with them. Reassure them of your presence, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray right now. Release your presence in new profound ways. Right now, Father, I pray. Release your presence into that household. Release your presence right now in a new way into that household, Lord God, in Jesus' name I pray. Release your presence, Lord, in the name of Jesus into that household, Lord, in Jesus' name. Release it. Release your power. Release your peace, Lord. Father, there's families out there that have been bickering against one another, Lord. They've been fighting against one another. The quarantine restrictions have weighed down on them, Father God. And now the situation is causing them to turn on each other. You know who they are. You know who they are. There's families out there turning on each other. Listen. Look at me for a second. If you are out there and you're part of a family that's turning on each other during this time, I want to encourage you. Don't fall for the devil's trap. Don't fall for the devil's trap. One of the enemy's strategy is to divide and conquer. And he uses stress and insecurity as a means to get us to turn on one another. No! Stop it right now in the name of Jesus. Stop it right now. There's someone listening to me right now. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to call your family member up today. And you need to say, you know what? I'm sorry for acting like that. I was stressed out. I didn't mean it. I was caught up in the moment. And I'm sorry for saying that. Somebody needs to call up today. I don't know who you are, but you need to call up today. Some of you need to sit down with a family member. And you need to apologize. And I would even say there's someone here listening. You're not even in the wrong. You're not in the wrong, but I want to encourage you to take the radical step to call that family member up and seek peace in that situation. You're not wrong. You didn't do nothing wrong. You're not the person who messed it up. No, but you could be a peacemaker. You could be a peacemaker. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And I want to encourage you to call that family member up. Or maybe they're in the room right now. Maybe you're sitting next to them right now. Matter of fact, if you're sitting next to somebody right now that you need reconciliation with, I want to ask that you just grab their hand right now because I'm going to pray for both y'all. Maybe it's three of y'all. Be bold. Be bold. If you're sitting in the living room right now and you need reconciliation, maybe it's a husband and wife. Maybe it's a grandmother and a grandson, or a grandmother and a granddaughter. Maybe it's a grandmother, a mother, and a daughter. Come on. Grab that person's hand. I'm going to pray for reconciliation. I'm going to pray for supernatural peace to be released in your house. And let me tell you something. When the peace of God releases in your house, it affects more than just your current situation. It'll bless everything about you. It'll bless everything about you. Grab that hand right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these relationships. I pray for these relationships, Lord, and I pray, number one, that you soften hearts right now. You soften hearts, Lord God, by the power of your Holy Ghost. Soften hearts right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, give them the spirit of reconciliation, the spirit of reconciliation to make peace after war. Let the Holy Ghost touch their situation even now. Let the Holy Ghost touch their situation, Father God. Lord, strengthen your follower to say he or she is sorry. Strengthen them to seek forgiveness right now, Lord God. I pray that you mend and heal that relationship. Mend and heal it. Mend and heal it, Lord God. We know you've done it billions of times. And we know you wanted to do it again. I pray for them, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Let's praise the Lord right where you're at.